You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action in Thurles. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to preview the card is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark. Very well, thank you.
Good man. What do you make of Thurles today? I mean, a few shorties, but some nice horses on show nonetheless.
Yeah, of course we get another chance to see Don Cossack, don't we?
Yeah.
Trying to cement his position at the top end of the market for the Gold Cup. Obviously fell in the King George when he was going well. May have won, may have not, but all being equal, he should win this today as he did last year and set himself up for a tilt, as I said, at the Blue Ribbon. The only problem is for Brian Cooper is, of course, choosing over him or Don Polly, which is going to be an agonising choice, isn't it?
If you were Brian Cooper, which would you choose? Because he seems to get on better with Don Polly than he does Don Cossack, but it's a hard choice, isn't it?
Yeah. To be fair, I'm a little bit on the fence and ambiguous with it at the moment. I mean, Don Cossack's not proven around Cheltenham, whereas Don Polly is. I think Don Cossack's a more classy horse, and he's got more speed than Don Polly. But if the race was run at a brutal gallop, then it could suit Don Polly. So yeah, it's a real difficult question. I wouldn't like to be in his shoes, put it that way.
Well, it's not a bad place to be, I suppose.
I was going to say, yeah. It's nice to be making those kind of decisions. I think the lucky rider is the rider who hasn't got any pressure on, who has to take over whichever one Brian doesn't go for.
Yeah.
He's going to be the lucky boy, whoever that is.
Yeah.
Maybe Davy Russell, I'd imagine.
Davy Russell or Paul Carberry, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah. But he might ride to riches, mightn't he?
Yeah, he might do, yeah. So, yeah. Interesting. We've also got an intriguing British runner over there as well. A bit of a puzzle in the mare's race. She's going to be short as well, and we'll get stuck into it later on. But she's a nice mare, isn't she?
Yeah, good at placing by Harry Fry. He's obviously looked at this grade two, seen that Vroom Vroom Mag isn't coming here, and he's already plundered a grade one with her last year when she won at Fairy House. So it's a ploy that Harry Fry's used in a positive note before, and she was good on her debut at Exeter. So this, and the Irish mares other than Vroom Vroom Mag aren't that much good. So yeah. I think this, like Don Cossack, should be plain sailing.
All right, we'll get stuck into those two Grade 2s in a little bit more detail shortly, but let's start with the first race, which is the 12:40. We start here with the maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and Indian Rouge heads the market at 1-2, pretty short price favourite this morning. Kashmiri Sunset is 7-2, backed in from 9-2 this morning. 10-1 for Improver, and Ochi Maith Boy, I apologise for that pronunciation because it's almost definitely wrong. 22-1 for Walker's Point. On the dry is 25s and 33s or bigger for the others. So a very short price favourite, Andy, and the front two in the market, the only two in single figures in the whole race. So what do you make of the 12:40?
Yeah, it's an interesting race in quite a few aspects. Obviously, Indian Rouge from the William Mullins stable makes his rules debut in this in Ireland, and very much as the market suggests, he's expected to make a winning debut, like quite a few of these have done in the past. Interesting that JP McManus owns this one. JP actually hasn't got that many horses with Willie. I'm not sure why JP hasn't had more more runners in these colours for Willie over the years, but he's obviously got his other trainers that he uses, and whether that improves over the years, I don't know. But the Kashmiri Sunset's the one that intrigues me here. Now, some firms are still going 7-2. If you can get an each-way bet about Kashmiri Sunset, you're as near as damn it going to get a bet for nothing here. Obviously, just taking a slight loss. But he's a good horse on the flat, this Kashmiri Sunset. Funny enough, he was a horse that me and the Rutherglen boys had a look at in the very, very fledgling stages of his flat career halfway through last year when he was plying his trade on soft or heavy ground. And knocking out some really good times, he obviously improved dramatically through the season, and he became then unbuyable, unfortunately. he ended up racing off a mark of 87, of course, winning at York. He is a very, very strong stay, this horse, and he's got the gelding operation as well. He's by Tiger Hill. Of course, that's one of the reasons why we were after him, because Mother Glenn was by Tiger Hill as well, and we know that they take pretty well to hurdling. Being trained by Gordon Elliott, that's very much a given that he's going to be able to jump cleanly. And, you know, although he's been off the track for quite a while, you know, he's definitely got a touch of class. So, an interesting little matchup between the two, but at the prices, like I say, if you can get 7-2 about Kashmiri Sunset, then that looks a decent each way bet in the opener.
Kashmiri Sunset each way then for Andy in the opener. The 110 is race 2 on the card. This one is a novice hurdle over 2¾ miles. West End Star heads the market at 11-8. It's 2-1 for Mumbeg Rose. Arkrist is 11-4 and 7-1 for Wes Harding. Only four of them in the lineup here, Andy. And another Gordon Elliott run with a strong chance in West End Star.
Absolutely, Mark. Yeah, he's a really nice horse, West End Star. He caught the eye first time out at Navan in a decent maiden hurdle won by Annabelle Fly. The form of that race has worked out really well. Not only West End Star himself has gone on to Frank the form, but back in third was another Gordon Elliott trained horse, Sutton Place, who won a bumper the other day in pretty impressive fashion. And indeed the winner, Annabelle Fly, has gone on to acquit himself really well in a much better race next time out when he chased home a short price favourite of Willie Mullins's. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that total form. He then himself went to, as I said, Dan Royal and won very, very easily, proving that he stays the trip. And it was not a bad time either. You know, you wouldn't get many sort of 2.5 mile heavy ground races that are massively good on the clock. I'm not saying it was off the scale, but it was certainly good enough to suggest that he probably deserves his rate in and around the 130 mark, which he's got, 132. And because he's the most proven stayer at the moment of the four horses that are in the race, I'd probably just about go for him ahead of Mumbeg Rose. I know she's a former point-to-point winner, so that shouldn't necessarily put the wind up us with regards to trip, but she did show quite a bit of speed when she won at Thurles, around this track last time out, and she beat Mystique. Now, Mystique is, of course, trained by Gordon Elliott, so that would give him some kind of yardstick to how good or what is required to beat Mumbeg Rose here. And the market, I would suggest, if it is speaking favourably in the direction of Western Star, then that obviously gives us a little bit more confidence that Connections at Fellazada can beat the Willie Mullins mare. And that's the way I see it. Western Star, the proven stayer, hopefully to beat, or outstay anyway, in Mumbeg Rose.
On to the third race next. The 140 in this one is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Another well-backed Gordon Elliott running this morning. Figurative at the top of the market for this race. 7-2 into 5-2 at the time of recording this. 4-1 for Rebel Turn. Tarabin is 8-1. It's 9 for Sydney Thompson. The Pounds is 11-1. 12s for Sharian and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. 13 of them in the lineup here. Andy, what do you make of the third race on the card?
Yeah, this looks like another good opportunity for a Gordon Elliott train horse. I've tipped his first two, and whichever way that they shape up, I'm pretty confident that Figurative will prove probably the strongest of the three. I'm going to make this horse my best bet in the card. And then after the day, courtesy of several good runs of late, finished second at Limerick behind a nice horse called A Great View. But then his run the other day of the Christmas period at Limerick was a really good one on the figures. He got beat by Positive Approach, but John Walsh's Charge is a very strong stayer, and you often find those Walsh horses on home soil at Limerick. Of course, he trains right by the track. They are devilishly difficult to beat in the finish, and that's exactly what happened to this son of Al Harth. He just couldn't quite cope with a more bigger, stronger rival in the shape of Positive Approach, but the pair of them pulled 31 lengths clear of the remainder, and like I said, the time was absolutely brilliant for a race of that nature. They've obviously got a very good gallop. They've also turned it on from three out, and a mark of 112 actually seems quite lenient if he can run up to the level of that form. We know he stays really well, that's for sure. 2 mile 6 round Limerick on heavy ground, you need to get home there, and he did that with aplomb, so he should find conditions actually around here today more to his liking. Now he's obviously very unexposed. The cheek pieces which were on that day are on again, so they obviously worked their magic on that occasion. And as I said, a lot of these have got very iffy-looking credentials coming into this race, whereas Figurative hasn't. The only thing, of course, he hasn't done is win a race, but hopefully today he'll put that behind him. So Figurative, strongest bet on the card in the 140.
nap selection for Andy then. In the 140, the 210 is the feature race of the afternoon. It's the Kinloch Bray Chase, a grade 2 over 2.5 miles. Don Cossack 1-8 at the top of the market. 7-1 for Wounded Warrior, 20s for Ruby Light, and Mount Kolar is 33-1. What are you expecting here, Andy? Are you expecting Don Cossack to breeze round, improve on the jumping, and win this for a second year?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much how most punters would see this. It's not really much of a betting race. Certainly from the Don Cossack involvement in it, I think you'd probably have to look without him and bet without Don Cossack to make any money out of this race. And with that in mind, I'm prepared to look into that three-runner race and take a little bit of a chance on Mount Kolar, even though the official rating suggests maybe one of the other two might just hold sway. But Mount Kolar does love it round here, Thurles. He's certainly no back number here, and he often runs way above his ratings. And that's what he did here the last day over hurdles, when he beat Dane King. Now, I know Dane King rather chucked it away and jumped out to his left, but to be fair, this horse kept on really willingly himself in the latter stages. And he's won a couple of times over fences here as well, which is obviously a massive feather in his cap. And you'd have to say that Ruby Light nowadays is looking a little bit of a short runner. He had a big advantage here the last day and couldn't quite maintain it. That said, I do think he'll toe the upfield along at a good gallop, which should obviously suit the favourite as well as Mount Kolar. And Wounded Warrior, of course, hasn't had a run this season. He's probably the second best horse in the race on the figures, and class-wise, then you'd say in any normal circumstances he probably would finish second here. But there's been one or two issues with Nolmeet's Charge. I read in his column the other day in the Weekender, and you know, he's not going to be knocked about first time out, so he could be vulnerable, even though he is a short price favourite to finish second. So Mount Kolar, obviously 33-1 outside a whole lot. I don't expect him to be beating Don Cossack, but Norman Poling just could hunt him round here and pick up the pieces late on. And the outside of the three, he looks a decent bet to chase Andy Jolly.
Mount Kolar to chase home Don Cossack then in the 210. The 240 is the fifth race on the card. This one is another grade two. It's a grade two mare's novice chase over 2.5 miles. And the market headed by a bit of a puzzle, who is 1-3 in the betting this morning. Queen's Wild 10-1, 11-1 for MCON, 12s for Perfect Woman, 14s for I'm All You Need, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. So another short price favourite, Andy. Harry Fry sent over a bit of a puzzle. You mentioned at the start of this piece that looks a good bit of placing. So talk us through your thoughts with a bit of a puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lovely mare, isn't she? We all know that. We've seen her plenty of times. She's always looked as though chasing is going to be a game. And it wasn't as if her career over hurdles is a disaster. Far from it. Of course, she finished third in the mare's race last year. Of course, that was a race Adney Power fell at last. But she still finished third on merit behind Glenn's Melody and Polly Peach. And she wasn't beaten far. And she made up for that by winning the Grade 1 at Fairy House, of course, without Adney Power in it. She beat a good field that day as well. And, you know, we've just been waiting for her to jump a fence. And what we saw of Exus, it was really impressive. She made all the running, jumped spectacularly, in hands and off of Healy, never looked like falling. And pretty much that'll be the case of her adding to that victory here today. It's just basically on a clear round, because she's by far and away the classiest horse in the race. She's probably got at least a couple of stone in hand of this field. And being as she's got an attacking run style, and imagine that Nolfa Healy will just do exactly what he did at Exeter, i.e. ping her out in front, get her pop in and seeing her fences. And Thurles can be a good track for horses like that, that often get rewarded from good solid jumping from the front. If you're looking for an each-way alternative, you might probably want to look towards MCON. For one reason or another, she just didn't run a race two starts ago at Clonmel, but she was back on form with a good run the other day down in Navan behind Queen's Wild. Obviously, there's not a great deal between quite a few of these off the back of that run. But MCON has probably got the most solid credentials, in the sense that she always seems to run her race, whereas one or two of the others are a little bit in and out, and they tend to be a bit unpredictable. So if you are betting without the favourite there, maybe MCON is the choice, but a bit of a puzzle. Similarly to Don Cossack, should give short price favourite backers not too many troubles.
On to the penultimate race next, race six on the card. This is the 3:15, and it's a 2.75 mile handicap chase. Winter Magic is the 7-2 favourite. Money though for Cooler Goner Giggs in opposition, 13-2 into 9-2 this morning. Taurine is 9-2, 13-2 for He Rocks, 7-1 for Topper Thornton, and 8-0 bigger for the others. So interesting how the market's shaping up this morning, Andy. What do you make of the 3:15?
Yeah, I got this race down between a couple, Winter Magic and Cooler Goner Giggs. I just slightly prefer the prices Cooler Goner Giggs, but that doesn't mean to say that Winter Magic obviously isn't a worthy favourite, because you take away his last run, which it was a bit peculiar, really, because he looked like winning two out, but then he didn't quite stay. And that's something that's not normally associated with James Magnus Charles, because he's won a couple of times over 3 miles, including a 3-mile-1 victory at Punchestown the time before, when he beat Kilcrea, who's a very reliable yardstick. Like I say, why he didn't quite get home the other day is anyone's guess. But today, dropping back in trip to 2-mile-6 should provide this 8-year-old with a decent chance. But Cornegorna Giggs, similarly to the favourite, comes here off the back of a good run. That was over the course behind Auntie Nora, and he also looked like winning as well, turning in, but he just got outstayed by the winner in the latter stages. The tongue-time blinker combination clearly worked that day, and back in third was Witness of Fashion, who of course went on to win next time at it Fairy House, beating Winter Magic. So as I said, there's not a great deal between these two collaterally, off if you take Winter Witness of Fashion as a guide. And as I said, those are the two that stand out for me this morning. But Cornegorna Giggs is a slightly better price, and he, because of the bigger price in his advantage, he obviously makes more appeal from an each-way perspective.
Cornegorna Giggs each way then, Frandy, in the 3.15. And the final race is the 3.45. We finish with a Hunter Chase over 3.5 miles a furlong. Two Rockers is the 11-8 favourite. 11-4 for Sydney Paget. Current exchange is 8-1. 10s for Lusker Lad. 12-1 for Drawn and Drank. 14-1 for Carrageen, Acebo, and 16s or bigger for the others. Do you have an opinion in the last, Andy?
Yeah, funny enough, I know quite a lot of these horses pretty well. Some of the better Hunter Chasers run here over in Ireland, Two Rockers, Sydney Pageant, and then you chuck in the likes of Lusker Lad, Current Exchange and Drawn and Drank, and we've got a nice little race here, actually, to conclude the card. I don't think there'll be too many punters that'll be going home here today. Two Rockers looks the obvious one here, however. He's always been highly regarded by Adrian Maguire, and of course, he bought this horse off Alan King many years ago, and he was a decent novice in his day. He's always had a touch of class, and Connections have had a lot of fun with him in the point-to-point fields. Unfortunately, he's at last start under rules. He unseated rider at the final fence. That was behind Prince de Beauchen. He was trying to muster up some kind of challenge, but he looked beaten at the time when he did tumble. But he was back on track when he beat Sydney Pageant the other day at Bolton. Now, that was a decent effort because there was a good bit of money for Sydney Pageant flying around that day. Obviously, off the back of a previous win, a lot of punters thought that the fitness advantage that Pat Dawes Charge had got might just be the crucial factor. But it was Adrian Maguire's Charge that came out on top, and he won quite gamely in the end, pulling clear of his main market rival. With that run to blow away to Cobwebs, you'd imagine he'd have pulled the form there. And we know, look, I say, this horse has got plenty of class. Finny Maguire takes the ride, of course, son of Adrian. And the combination, look, as though they've got every chance of concluding the final race in the best possible fashion. So, Two Rockers, easily the best horse in this race. He stays really well, and I expect him to follow up that win in the point-to-point field.
Two Rockers then for Andy in the lucky last. Let's just have a little bit of a summary as usual, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thurles one more time.
Yeah, decent card today at Thurles. Looking forward to seeing some decent jump action in Ireland. We've been starved of it of late. Should be a good day for Gordon Elliott, hopefully. Kashmiri Sunset looks the obvious each-way choice against the favourite in the first. West End Star looked a good horse the last day down in Down Royal, where he stayed him very strongly. And that stamina should hold him in good stead against his three opponents in the 110. My best bet in the card is Figurative, who comes out hugely well on the figures that he produced last time at Limerick when chasing home that positive approach. If he repeats that, I think it'd be hard to beat. Don Cossack should justify his position in the market as expected in the 210 and win the race for the second year. But if you're betting without the favourite, many will be, then Matt Kohler looks a nice value option. In the next race, again, we've got a similar short price favourite that should win barring accidents in the shape of a bit of a puzzle. But again, if you're betting without the favourite or each way, then maybe MCON could be an alternative there. In the 3.15, two that appeal here are Winter Magic and Cornegorna Giggs, with the latter getting the vote each way at the prices. And in the final race, Two Rockers did really well to win on his seasonal reappearance, and hopefully his class will come through in the final Hunter Chase.
Superb. Good to speak to you again, Andy. Good luck and enjoy Thurles this afternoon.
Will do. Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.